I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the campaign dropout edition. This week, we're breaking down the final Republican Senate debate, what DeWine's advisor knew about a bribe for Sam Randazzo, why one Republican dropped out of an Ohio congressional race, and how a state Supreme Court ruling could affect Ohio State students. With me today is Laura Bischoff.
Hello, hello.
Our first topic for today is the last primary debate between Republicans who want to take on Senator Sherrod Brown this fall. Businessman Bernie Moreno, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, and State Senator Matt Dolan met on stage at Miami University, and things got pretty heated. They attacked each other's records and fought over who would be most loyal to Trump if elected to Senate. The moderator had to cut mics more than once when the candidates got off topic, were kind of griping at each other. It was very interesting. The primary at this point is less than 2 weeks away, and there's not really a clear front runner in this race. And I feel like it definitely showed during the debate.
Yeah, that's probably why it got so spicy, is because they feel like it's still up for grabs. It seems to me like this is a race that is kind of a fight for the undecideds. There was a recent poll that showed that 20 or 25% of the primary voters are still undecided about this race. And so, you know, it could break in any direction.
Yeah, I think so. And it's kind of surprising to me that there are still so many undecideds this close to the primary. But I think we have a few things going on. The big one, I think, is that voters are just over it all. I think like there's just a lot of election burnout and people aren't really feeling the 2024 election cycle in general.
Which is interesting because there is such a premium placed on this race. You know, the winner of this GOP primary is going to go up against Sherrod Brown. And beating Sherrod Brown is a huge priority for the National Republicans. The control of the Senate hinges on this race as well as others. So it's really, you know, this is a doozy of a race. And the idea that people are kind of checking out already is surprising, although it wouldn't be unheard of. People do feel like they're kind of battle fatigued.
Right. And you don't quite have the same interesting cast of characters that you did during the 2022 Senate race. I mean, that election was just made for headlines, I feel like. And, you know, this one, while it's gotten a little bit spicier, has been more tame compared to 2022. And ultimately, these guys have a lot of the same positions. There's not a ton of daylight between them.
Right. And a lot of the stuff about what they're fighting about is who would be better for Donald Trump as an ally in the Senate, and who likes Donald Trump better and who likes his policies better. Even Matt Dolan, who did not endorse Donald Trump in the presidential primary races, when cornered in the debate by Frank LaRose on it, he said he endorses his policies, just not his personality.
Yeah, which was probably the most direct Dolan has been about it the whole time. So that was interesting. But yeah, a lot of focus on Trump, a lot of bashing each other's records and, you know, pointing to like Bernie Moreno, for instance, wrote an op-ed back in the day in favor of green energy mandates. He once supported a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. So it's like, who's the real conservative? Who's actually a liberal in disguise?
You were there in person in Oxford at Miami University. Did you have any sense of like who won or who would be more senator-like or any takeaways?
Well, according to their press releases, they all won.
Exactly.
You know, I do think it's anyone's ballgame at this point. I think, again, they are similar in a lot of ways, even though they don't want to admit that in terms of what it was like being there. One thing I will note is that Frank LaRose was the only one who did not come up afterward to talk to reporters. So take that for what you will. But
yeah, I don't know how GOP voters would care about that. Like, you know, maybe they're kind of like anti-reporters. I don't know.
All right. Next up, let's talk about that $4.3 million payment to Sam Randazzo and what a close advisor of DeWine knew about it. A quick reminder, Randazzo got this money from First Energy when he became chair of the Public Utilities Commission. First Energy admitted it was a bribe, and now Randazzo is facing state and federal charges. According to Randazzo's latest indictment, DeWine advisor Laurel Dawson knew about that payment before DeWine appointed him to the PUCO in 2019. That's not what the governor's office said before. What is going on here?
Yeah, the time frame has kind of changed. According to the indictment that Dave Yost brought against Randazzo, it said that Laurel Dawson knew about this $4.3 million paid from First Energy to his consulting company, that she knew about it in January 2019 as the DeWine administration was vetting Randazzo and deciding whether or not to place him on the Public Utilities Commission. And previously, when the FBI searched his condo in Columbus back in November of 2020, and the First Energy had disclosed this payment to Randazzo in Securities and Exchange Commission filings, you know, back then we were all like, well, what did you know? When did you know about this payment? And the story from the DeWine administration was, we just learned about it in October, late October.
Hmm. So at this point, we're seeing something different. And Laurel Dawson has been subpoenaed to talk about this, right?
Yeah. Well, she got subpoenaed by the Ohio Organized Crime Investigation Commission. This is the entity that Dave Yost used to put together the indictment through the grand jury process. But yeah, she's not giving interviews to the press. We have asked and been told she's not going to be talking to us. So, you know, we still want to know, what did she know? When did she know it? What did she tell or not tell the governor? And when did that information reach the governor?
Yeah, I think an open question throughout the entire House Bill 6 scandal has been, how far up did this go? Lieutenant Governor John Husted's name comes up a lot, but DeWine was around too. And I think one of his aides sort of having her feet held to the fire right now is interesting. I don't know that it implicates, you know, DeWine at this point, but I think voters and Ohioans deserve to know sort of what's going on here.
Absolutely. I'm curious to see where that's going to go.
Our third topic for today is the messy 9th congressional district race in Northwest Ohio. Republicans are fighting for the chance to take on Representative Marcy Kaptur, who is the longest serving woman in Congress. The GOP primary has been chaotic, to say the least. A big reason for that is a Republican by the name of J.R. Majewski. He lost to Kaptur in 2022 after he was accused of misrepresenting his military record, but he decided to give it another try this time. Then last month, he made a really rude comment about Special Olympics athletes. After that, and after going back and forth, Majewski dropped out of the primary. That was good news for Republicans who saw him as a liability, but it's still not clear who the nominee is going to be in this.
Right. So JR dropped out, but as far as I know, he hasn't called the Board of Elections to say, hey, by the way, I've dropped out. And so
he actually did finally a couple of days ago. He like sent in his official notice.
OK, so that was an open question about whether or not votes for him would actually count. So now it looks like it'll be a two way race between Derek Marin and Craig Riedel. You know, I think that the JR drama was that he could split the vote, or the two, Marin is a current lawmaker, Riedel is a former lawmaker, that those two guys could split the vote and provide a path for JR to get in. And like you said, he lost to Kaptur last time. And, you know, Kaptur's not to be messed with. This district was redrawn to her disadvantage, but she managed to dispatch JR in the 2022 election.
Yeah, and Riedel was kind of seen as the Republican favorite, or at least the establishment Republican favorite, up until about December. And then there was audio leaked of him kind of disparaging Donald Trump. He said that Trump is arrogant and not necessarily his preferred style of candidate. Riedel quickly endorsed Trump for president after that came out, but Republicans freaked out and recruited Marin because they were worried that those comments could pave the way for Majewski winning in March. And now Majewski isn't even in the race.
Ta-da.
And another just quick development on this. Majewski came out earlier today and endorsed Marin. So whatever that means to voters in that district, I guess. Our final topic is whether universities should pay college students back for in-person classes that got moved online during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some Ohio State students sued over this, but they don't dispute that the school made the right call for public health and safety. Their issue is that they think Ohio State should refund students for classes and other fees they paid before the school lockdown. Ohio State doesn't think they can be sued over this and asked the state Supreme Court to decide. Instead, Republican justices on the court punted it back to an appeals court. What now?
Well, there's also there was a fight on the Ohio Supreme Court. Or maybe a fight is too strong of a word. There was a disagreement. The four Republicans said, really, it's up to the appeals court to decide this. And the Democrats on the court said, actually, it should be the Court of Claims that decides this. The Court of Claims handles lawsuits against the state. This has some potential big ramifications. If they are allowed to sue as a class, then against Ohio State, it could give the go-ahead for lawsuits against some of the other universities, like University of Cincinnati, University of Akron. So there's a potential there. And it is kind of, it all comes from sort of the same bucket of, you know, COVID shut down this, COVID shut down that. And I'm unhappy about the financial ramifications of it. I mean, I think there was even a lawsuit over, you know, whether or not Cedar Point could change the terms of their season pass, their season passes. There was also a lawsuit over the collection of municipal income taxes from people who were no longer working in the urban core and were working, you know, from their suburban basement. And should they be paying taxes to the city or not? So, you know, I think this is just sort of a fallout from the rapid shutdown that we had from the pandemic.
Yeah, the developments in the case this week are definitely, you know, it's very wonky legalese, but I do think this underlying issue is interesting because if you think about what college students have to pay for, a lot of that is predicated on stuff happening in person. And, you know, it's no one's fault that there was a global pandemic, but how the schools and everyone else deals with that is the question now.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair for Ohio State students to have to pay a fee for the recreation center or the Ohio Union if they weren't even on campus and had no access to those facilities?
And one more thing before you go. If you're voting in the Ohio primary, Tuesday, March 12th is the last day to request an absentee ballot. Early voting will continue through St. Patrick's Day, so you can reward yourself with a pint of Guinness after you cast your ballot.
Sláinte.
Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, @OhioExplained.